Hello and welcome to the HTXT AfriCast. It is Wednesday, but it's only the second day of the working week. Hooray! I'm thrilled. In the studio today with me is Brendan Lotz.
Hello.
And Clinton Matos.
That's me. Hello, everybody.
I'm Nick Cowan. And Clinton, you apparently spent one of the worst mornings you've ever spent at the movies.
Well, geez, I wouldn't say that. Like, I was just sitting watching a movie. Nothing bad happened to me. Basically, I went to a back-to-back feature, review feature, and both of the movies were disappointing, but only one of them was truly terrible.
Really?
So
let's do the one that wasn't completely terrible first.
Okay. So the first one is the Lego Ninjago movie.
Right.
Now, this is the third Lego movie we've gotten so far, and this...
Well, this year...
No, well, it's the second one this year, third overall. Mm-hmm. Now, you may be asking, what the F is Ninjago?
Yes.
So, Lego, as you know, makes sets for all existing licenses. They do Back to the Future, Star Wars, DC, Portal. Marvel. Yeah, they do a lot of things. But they also do their own internal themes, where they create a world and characters and storylines, and then they make sets on them.
Right.
And those themes usually only last 2 to 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
But Ninjago has been so popular with kids and adults that they've had it been going for years. So that was the next choice.
So Ninjago is just Lego ninjas.
Yeah. Lego ninjas. They fight skeletons sometimes. They fight snake people sometimes.
Is the lore very deep?
It's Lego, Nick. What? yes, it is, actually. It's really dense at this point because they made so much stuff. So that was the next choice for their movie. It's the third best one Lego movie so far.
Out of the three that have been made.
Yeah.
So it's the worst.
Yeah. The reason for that is it feels rushed. You can see it in the production. Like in the first two Lego movies.
How?
That I'm going to tell you.
Oh, yeah.
In the first two Lego movies, you know, the big trick was everything you see is Lego and could be replicated if you had millions of rands worth of Lego.
Right.
In this... A large portion of the backgrounds are not Lego.
Oh.
Like there's a scene with a beach and a body of water and some mountains. None of it's Lego. It's just a CGI. And a third of the movie takes place in this bamboo forest and none of it is Lego.
Is that because Ninjago is set in sort of like a... Far Eastern mythological...
Well...
And it doesn't really lend itself to... Constructing
No, that's not the case. There's rumors that this movie was rushed in production to get out this year, and that's the reason they're saying. But there's no in-universe reason why they didn't make the bamboo forest out of Lego. I've seen people do it in real life.
I love the fact that out of the things that disappointed you about this film, the first one we have gone to is the bamboo forest not being...
No, but that's an important part of what made the other movies good. And the other important part is the writing. And also in here, it again feels rushed. The story starts off really fast and it just grinds to a halt and then it limps over the finish line. And the story that they set up about the main character, Lloyd, who's the green ninja, and his dad being the main bad guy named Garmadon.
This isn't spoiler territory.
No, it's in the in the trailer. They kind of resolve it at the end, but they're not really.
Right.
And there's no payoff to the main story. It's really strange that at the end you're looking at it and you're thinking... You didn't resolve anything. There's a subplot about the five ninjas who are the main cast, like finding their true power. And then again, they don't really resolve that at the end. They kind of do it, but then they don't. And it's a really weird, disjointed story that doesn't fit together at all. And all the signature humor and writing that made the other two movies so good is in like half of the first act, but it never delivers as well as the other movies.
Okay.
And the whole thing feels rushed. And you're going to be disappointed if you're not a huge fan of Ninjago.
Okay.
And that's the biggest problem with it. You have to be a huge fan to look over these flaws.
And as bad as that film was, it wasn't as bad as the one you saw afterwards.
Okay, so Kingsman The Golden Circle is the freshest example of a sequel just not being able to recapture what made the first movie so good, which was Kingsman The Secret Service. Now, if you've seen the first one, you know it was very silly... But it was a little bit grounded, and it keeps looking back into the camera and saying, "Oh, we're not that kind of spy movie and everything."
Right.
And this one just it went full. I don't want to say it. It went full idiot in terms of the plot. It's worse than a Sunday morning cartoon.
Sunday morning cartoons were pretty damn good.
Yeah, but I mean on the cheese level, it's even worse. And you're watching things happen, and you're so disconnected.
Okay, so just briefly, let's go through it.
Yes.
Kingsman: The Golden Circle.
Yes.
Is essentially about the Kingsmen who secret agent slash Dapper Dan.
Yeah.
You know, wearing.
So it picks up shortly after the first movie, mm-hmm. where Eggsy is he's now the big man spy.
Yeah.
And then him and the Kingsmen come under attack by the Golden Circle, which is the movie's named after, which is a shady drug organization.
Like Spectre or something.
Yeah, 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 exactly. And it sets up this, it's supposed to set up this really cool like spy versus spy kind of idea. And then 60% of the movie doesn't deal with that at all. In this movie about spies in the future and what's it called? They have lightsaber lassos that cut people in half. They spend about 60% of the movie dealing with relationship troubles, the ethics of drug use, world politics, and a lot of other boring things.
Brendan's like, yeah, Brendan, using the world to live as he lives.
I have Brendan already. Just when he started, immediately.
So 60% of that movie is really uninteresting stuff.
Like, here's a moral lesson for you all to learn. In the movie that you came to watch about spies, where the first movie featured somebody, I don't want to spoil too much, but took out an entire church.
Yeah.
You know, let's have now a moral compass.
Yeah.
That just annoys the hell out of me.
And there's some really weird subtext about US politics and who's in office right now. And it's so ham-handed that it's really funny, but not really. Every action set piece in this feels like it's trying to replicate that church scene Brendan just mentioned. Yeah. And it fails at every point. And the actors feel like they're there for a paycheck. It really feels like
that.
Well,
I mean, Colin Firth is in this one, is he not?
Okay, so he's not supposed to be. I don't want to, again, spoil the first movie, but he's not supposed to be.
Yeah.
But he is, and they use magic movie science to explain why he's here. And he's the worst example of he's there for a paycheck. I don't know why. He's so unlikable in this second movie. Colin Firth. Galahad. I mean, if you remember, he's the best character.
Yeah, in the first one, he was one of my favorite characters.
He's like visibly irritable in the movie.
And he did lose an eye, didn't he?
Yeah, but that's not the reason, really. And you're watching him, you're like, I don't like you. Why are you acting like this in a professional sense? Like, why are you putting on this character? But why are you acting like you don't want to be here?
What were the statesmen like in this movie? Did they feature at all? Were they the annoying Yanks that they seem to be in the trailers?
Yes, for two reasons. One of the actors that they use in a lot of the marketing isn't in the movie a lot. It kind of feels like a bait and switch.
Who's that?
I don't want to say, because it's going to be a spoiler.
Oh, so you're going to not warn people that...
okay, so...
Because from the sounds of things, you're spoiling this film simply by turning up.
Okay, so Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum.
Yeah.
He's in all the marketing as the statesman, the American spy.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's in it for 20 minutes, I think. And the movie's like 2.5 hours long. It's really long.
Mm.
He shows up, he does some cool stuff with like a flip action shotgun, and then he gets sick and he's in a coma for most of it.
Oh my...
I don't...
what's his name? The dude? Is he in? Does he feature in it prominently? I can't remember his name now. I only know him as the dude.
Oh, the dude, yes.
Like Jeff Bridges.
That's it.
He's in it. He's fine. He's also only in there for 10 minutes as the big, the good guy. He spits into a spittoon after drinking some alcohol. Like at least 30 minutes of this movie are just people drinking alcohol.
And spitting into spittoons.
Well, that only happens once. And... God, it's so bad.
This actually makes me really sad because I really enjoyed the first film.
Yeah.
And I kind of watched it not knowing what I was getting into. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. And when I heard there was going to be a second one, I was really excited because...
I enjoyed
the first one so much because it wasn't like James Bond, which I've always found incredibly boring.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, because...
I don't care who knows it. I really don't.
Well, now all our listeners do.
But, yeah, it just felt so boring. And this was kind of fast and exciting. And there was a bit of humor. And Samuel L. Jackson with a lisp. Like, there were all these great things.
Yeah.
And it was just... I don't know. This really makes me sad that this one is not as good.
I enjoyed the first one, and I saw it under the worst conditions you can possibly see a movie under.
What is that? Power failure.
4DX or whatever that is.
Oh, gosh.
Called, where they throw you around in a chair.
No, that's terrible.
I even enjoyed it watching it there. I hated being rocked around in a chair and stuff.
Because it's a fun movie.
This is really, really good. I'd actually like to check out the comic book it was based on.
Yeah. So here's a good example of why this movie didn't work, right? The main bad guy is Julianne Moore, who's her name's Poppy in this, because she's the lead of a drug empire, Poppy.
I see what they did there.
Yeah. She's supposed to be a really over-the-top villain, and she goes hammy with it, but she doesn't go all the way. So it's a half-baked, I'm putting in the work to be hammy, but I'm not letting myself be silly, like, oh, I want to be taken seriously. And she's just a bad joke. Now, if you compare that...
Oscar-winning actress, Julianne Moore.
Exactly. If you compare that to a similar actress who was... is it Banks? In the new Power Rangers movie.
Yeah, right.
Right. Elizabeth Banks, right?
Right.
So Elizabeth Banks in the Power Rangers movie, she had a lot of fun with her role as Rita Repulsa because she didn't give a damn. She's like, I'm here to play a really campy cartoon. And you could see she was having fun with it.
Yeah.
You could see she went 100%.
Was she as good as Eddie Redmayne in Jupiter Ascending?
I create life.
Yeah.
She was better than that. So it's a good example of taking a cartoon idea, like the Sunday cartoon idea, and making it work by being really silly. And then you have Poppy, Julianne Moore, just being half-assed and painful to watch. They have so many scenes with her doing nothing. Man, both of these movies are so messed up.
There was so much potential.
They don't feel like they were put together right.
Correctly.
Yeah. I wouldn't really suggest either of them.
Well, now that you've completely and utterly made Brendan lose the will to live, and let's talk to Brendan. See if he can wake up. Because you were looking into cryptocurrency mining.
Yeah, so...
Was it last week?
It was last week.
It was the end of last week.
Feels like months ago, but it was just last week. I think it was last weekend. The Pirate Bay was found to be using something called CoinHive.
Right.
And basically what CoinHive does is it uses the computing power of your users to mine for cryptocurrency.
Right. That is people who visit the site.
Yeah. So if you visit a site, the site runs a little bit of JavaScript that then uses your CPU power, I think it's just your CPU power, to mine cryptocurrency.
Right.
And the Pirate Bay did this, and they didn't tell anybody, and there was a huge uproar about all of this.
You mean to tell me that these people who went to the Pirate Bay to help themselves to illegal downloads were upset that something bad happened?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
So
what kind of a world are you living, guys?
Think someone would just go on the internet and lie?
Yeah.
So everybody kind of had something to say about this to the Pirate Bay last week, and everybody was noticeably upset.
Yep.
And then on the 20th of September, which is a bit late in the week, I think it was Wednesday last week,
Wednesday,
if I'm not mistaken.
Week.
Just checking my calendar. Yes, it was the Wednesday. Local website Meme Burn that deals with cryptocurrency, not cryptocurrency, internet and culture.
Yeah.
Upon visiting their website, your CPU usage would climb to about 100%.
Wow.
Which was very, very strange because, I mean, even at load, I think when I have like 10 tabs open, Chrome only uses about 10% of my CPU.
Yeah.
So it was a little bit weird. Upon further inspection, a couple of people noticed that there was a line of JavaScript calling out to CoinHive.
Right.
Which suggested that there was a cryptocurrency miner on the website.
Yeah.
Of course, everybody thought that this was MemeBurm trying to stave off the adpocalypse and people using ad blockers and that sort of stuff.
So just before we go any further, it's important to note that the Pirate Bay put in CoinHive without telling anyone.
Yeah.
But they did it on purpose as an experiment to generate revenue. As Brendan's going to explain in these next two cases, they were not put in on purpose.
Yeah. So as Clinton's alluded to, MemeBurm then took their site offline and went to check what was going on with this script, or they discovered the script, and we spoke to the editor of MemeBurn, who is his name has just escaped me. Andy Walker. Andy Walker. We spoke to him, and he said that they did not put the script on their website.
Yeah.
They suspected that it might be something with a compromised plugin,
right.
But as yet we don't know what caused this. But then yesterday, Showtime in the US had something similar happen. They discovered that there was, once again, a CoinHive script running on their website that they did not place there. Apparently, it was in amongst some a comment tag for a firm placed there by an analytics firm called New Relic, who says that they didn't put it there. So that leaves many people to believe that it was malicious individuals.
Right.
Showtime hasn't commented on this, nor has CBS, so we're not sure whether it was placed there by malicious individuals. But the signs point to it probably being malicious individuals.
Yeah.
Now, this is what's really interesting for me, is that we've had ransomware, we've had malware, we've had phishing attacks, we've had social engineering. But this is now very interesting, because now you have people that are hijacking a website and putting a crypto mining currency in there. And if you configure the script correctly, your users wouldn't even know it was happening.
Well, that's the rub with how it works, really, because the way I've read it, I read a bit about CoinHive. You can change how much you want to tax your visitor's CPU.
From 1 to 100%.
Yeah, so the problem is the less percent you use, you make less money by many factors. The more you use, the more intrusive it is, the more battery life you use of your visitor's
notebooks and phones.
Yeah, I think it uses more data, but I'm not 100% sure. And it's just bothersome for them the higher you make that number.
Yeah.
So you need to find a balance. And so it's very strange.
Yeah, so in the case of Meanberm, it was using about 100% of your CPU. So clearly they hadn't configured it, or whoever hadn't configured it. Let me not say they hadn't. But whoever had put it there hadn't configured it properly to leave it unnoticed. And in the case of Showtime, it was using about 60% of a visitor's CPU. But what's really interesting about this is that now there's this conversation going around online as to whether people would allow websites to use their resources to make money rather than using an ad blocker.
Yeah.
And I want to ask you guys what you think about that. Would you be willing to let a site use your hardware and put miles on your hardware so that you don't have to use ad blockers?
I don't know.
You don't know.
It's a tough one to answer.
Clinton?
I say yes. The reason,
obviously, you have to inform your users before this. You need to go through some best practices.
So I actually think if this becomes popular, you have to have at the top of your website and the top of every story a very noticeable banner, and next to that banner basically a button that acts as a switch to turn it off.
Yeah.
The reason for that is, while it may not be noticeable on a desktop, as soon as you go mobile,
it's a lot
of impact on your performance and everything. And I would say yes, I would do this, mostly because I'm on a desktop a lot and I wouldn't notice it that much. And I also think it's good, because whoever's using it won't be beholden to advertisers. And they also won't be beholden to malicious advertisers if they're using Google ads.
Yeah.
And I think it's a novel way to use... If I'm browsing a video, that's using very little of my system.
Yeah.
But I could then help you, you know, pay for this content I'm getting for free by using very little bit of my CPU.
Well, I mean, like, for instance, right, so I have Chrome open pretty much all day, every day. And there are some tabs that I just leave open. For instance, I'll have YouTube open in the background playing music or whatever. I'll have Deezer open in the background. If I knew that I was supporting some of my favorite websites by leaving a browser open so that they could take 1% of my CPU or 2%, whatever it may be, as long as it's not using 100%, I would be very, very open to letting websites do that, because let's face it, nobody likes ads, and we know that ads can act as a route for malicious software to come through if your ad container gets tainted or whatever it may be. I would be very open to something like this, because, I mean, why not? I mean, everybody complains about ads and how intrusive they are, and, oh, this is so terrible, and why do I have to pay for my news? Well, I mean, now if you're using 1% of somebody's desktop browser, I don't think that's too much to ask.
No.
You know? I don't know.
As long as you let them know it's happening.
The worrying thing, though, is that we've now had 3 instances where this has been put in a negative light.
Yeah.
And one was local as well, which is strange.
Which is very strange. And, I mean, I really hope that this isn't the case, but it feels sort of like cyber criminals are going, well, I mean, we don't have to extort money. We can just put up a script on every website in the world and rake it in. Mm. I mean, the specifically CoinHive mines Monero, which is currently worth $93, I checked this morning.
Right.
So if you mine one coin, that's $93. It's not a lot, but I mean, Clinton, you linked me to a story.
So yeah, this was from Torrent Freaks, if I'm not mistaken. They did some, you know, quick maths to work out how much the Pirate Bay would earn in a month.
Yeah.
And the Pirate Bay is a very heavily trafficked site. They've got a lot of people on that site and using the site for a long period of time because they mess around with files. So they were, in my eyes, the best case scenario.
Yeah.
The math says they would, now I'm using only, but I'll explain why. They were generating only $12,000, or they would if they continued for a month. They may say that's actually a lot of money. I mean, at the end of the year, that's $144,000. It's a lot of money, but you have to weigh that against how much you could earn from traditional ads, which would be more, how much your server costs, which is a lot compared to 12,000, considering how many people are on that site.
Yeah.
And third, the bad PR you're going to get from this move, which there's already been bad PR, and the fact that a lot of your users aren't going to like it. Now, there's always been this problem with ads, especially on mobile, because if you serve someone an ad on the mobile, they're paying data to be on your site.
Yeah.
So if they're viewing an ad, they are paying to view an ad.
Yeah.
So it's doubly worse. But now with this, not only are they going to pay extra electricity costs because their CPU is using more power, it is, as you said earlier, it's putting miles on your hardware. Even if a CPU lasts a decade or more, the more you use it, the faster it's going to break.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, absolutely.
That's how everything in the world works. And if you're on a site for a long period of time and your CPU is being used like 50% or more a long period of time, it's going to break sooner than it would if you were just viewing ads.
I mean, like somebody mentioned, tweeted to us this morning saying, oh, if Showtime were to say, oh, user, if we allow to use your hardware, you can pay, you don't have to pay a subscription to our service.
Yeah.
And I mean, I just looked at it and went, so I'm going to end up paying more for my hardware over time because I'm now mining crypto for Showtime.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a very good idea. I mean, I spend a lot of time on Netflix, and if Netflix were to say to me, oh, would you like to just forfeit your subscription fee and we'll just use your PC to mine crypto, I'd just be like, no thanks, I'll keep paying you every month because it's going to be cheaper in the long run.
Yeah, well, that's
if
another
point. If you'd like to do something, Netflix, why don't you just give us some more content or lower the price until we have as much content as the American cousins? How about that?
Yeah, and I also think we're going to need, like, in 5 years, if this ever becomes commonplace, we're going to need a study by millions of people saying, this is how much you're paying in terms of your hardware and electricity compared to what they're getting for that crypto you mine for them.
Yeah.
And we just don't know because this is all new.
It's all very new. I mean, it's like literally 2 weeks old that this has been happening. I'm sure it's been happening on a lesser scale for some time, but it's now in the mainstream and so far people are not happy.
Yeah.
And it's a bit terrible, but I think that it's something worth exploring and worth people looking into because we can't survive off of ads for the rest of our lives. And it's already proven that people dislike advertising.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'm a bit more pessimistic about this. You know, at the end of the day, maybe it's just, it should collapse. You know?
Clinton says, the amount of money that you make off of it or that you could potentially make off of it and what you would make from advertising are chalk and cheese.
Mm.
You know, they're not really comparable. But I think that if there was a way for websites like ours to not rely as heavily on advertisers to keep the lights on, you can't really argue with that.
No, you can't.
But yeah, as I said, it's something worth debating and we'd really like to hear what our listeners have to say.
Yeah,
I know that sounds super cheesy, but we really, really would. So drop us your comments, send us a tweet, tell us a story on Facebook because you can, because I don't think there is a character limit. And yeah, let us know what you think.
Yeah.
Would you be willing to help out your favorite sites?
Yeah.
By letting them use your CPU.
And us.
Including us. Including us, yes.
Well, I think that's pretty much all the time we've got this week.
Yes, I think that is.
We were supposed to move last week.
We were supposed to, and then we didn't, but such is life.
But yeah, so thank you very much, Brendan.
Thank you, Nick.
Thank you very much, Clinton.
It is a pleasure.
And we'll see you, hopefully, in our new digs next week.
Cheers.
Bye, bye everybody.
Sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.